Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Well. Okay, so tell me how to be optimistic about the Penguins. Because they were 100% horse manure at Philadelphia yesterday. You got a chance to win three straight and stake out some legitimate momentum. You got a chance to keep hold on third place. You got a chance to avoid Florida. So the Penguins went out there and soiled the bed. The Penguins sucked. You lost 4-1 to one of the worst teams in the league. You had something to play for. It's your cross-state rival. All that. And the Penguins mailed it in and sucked and got embarrassed. And don't give me that crap. It'd be better off to play Florida. That's a load of crap. The Penguins are fading. They are a shell of what they used to be. Some of the names may be the same, but they're a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox. So I ask again, you tell me, how can I be optimistic about the Penguins in the playoffs? Because you see what I see, or maybe you don't. I want the Penguins to win, obviously. Always have, always will, but I see what I see. This is the Jorge de Guzman Show. My name is Jorge de Guzman. Dial 412-333-WXDX if you'd like to participate, or follow me on Twitter at Jorge de Guzman. Washington got a loser point last night, so the Caps are 1 point behind Pittsburgh for third place in the Metro, and the Caps have a game in hand. Washington lost via shootout to Toronto. Alex Ovechkin left the game hurt, went into the boards pretty nasty. It did not look good, but no word on how bad the injury is or how long he'll be out. That number again, 412-333-WXDX. Tomlin and Colbert talked to the media today about the upcoming draft. Of course, they revealed nothing. Why would they? When do they? Tomlin said regarding quarterbacks, he likes quarterbacks, quote, that run to and not from competition, unquote. He called quarterback the ultimate competitor position, unquote. So it was nonstop horse manure from Tomlin as usual. He teased maybe trading up in the first round, but who knows? It seems like Tomlin is in love with the idea of drafting a quarterback. So some mock drafts have both quarterbacks of any repute, Pickett and Liberty Bibberty. Some mock drafts have them both available when the Steelers select at number 20. But I don't know. I just wouldn't do it, but they might. By the way, I keep hearing that if they pass on Kenny Pickett, it'll be like when they passed on Dan Marino back when. Yeah, okay. Pickett ain't no Marino. If the Steelers pass on Pickett, it won't have 1/10 the amount of regret they had passing on Dan Marino. Kevin Colbert said that the top three picks in this year's draft have to become starters. The follow-up question, which nobody asked, was, when? You mean like right away? 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Duck Hodges announced his retirement. When he did so, I retweeted and added, "Next stop, Canton." Duck tweeted back, "Next stop, Pornhub," referring to me. So I tweeted back, "Yeah, they post your game film there." You know, because he was so bad it was obscene. But boy, a lot of people love Duck in Pittsburgh. Don't know why. Maybe because he's a loser just like so many of you. Not into duck porn. Just not into duck porn. That number, 412-333-WXDX. Let's get back to Penguins talk, because the Penguins were absolute excrement yesterday at Philadelphia. You beat Detroit on Saturday. So what? You're supposed to. You're supposed to beat Philadelphia, too. You're supposed to be in third place, too. The Penguins are a one-line team. Sid scored yesterday. Of course he would. It's against Philadelphia. The Penguins very likely aren't going to have Jari for the first game of the playoffs. Malkin is horrible 5-on-5. The defensive core is weak, weaker, weakest, except for Letang, who is great. He dominated that game at Detroit, but you won't admit that. Matheson's okay, too. But below that on D, well, Ruedel's getting what he can out of what he got, but mostly the D sucks. Malkin is killing the Penguins 5-on-5. Killing them. Letang is great. You'd think it's the opposite. It's really quite laughable. I hear nonsense like Heinen's playing great because he has 18 goals now. Yeah, but he had one goal in 14 games not long ago. He had two goals in 18 games right before that. Hockey isn't just numbers. It's also, does the guy help you win games? Kasperi Kapanen was a healthy scratch in Philadelphia. You used a first-round draft pick to get the guy. Then you traded another first-round pick to get the guy back. And now Kasperi Kapanen is a healthy scratch, and should be. There's just so much wrong with the Penguins, and it's not suddenly going to get right. I can't lie about what I see. The last 3 years, I picked the Penguins to win in the first round. I won't do that this year. No matter who they play, I'm picking against them. I'd have to be a moron to pick the Penguins to win in the first round the way they look and the way their potential opponents look, although Carolina is dragging ass a little bit. But I think, you know, call me. Here's the one slight morsel of optimism I can dress up. They are probably going to finish third and play New York in the first round. Unless New York catches Carolina. God, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is there ain't no team I would pick the Penguins to beat in the first round. Unless they play Detroit. And I don't think the Red Wings are going to qualify. So how can I be optimistic about the Penguins? Please tell me, 412-333-WXDX. And I'd also like to know, why do so many of you think Evgeny Malkin is still great and you think Letang is a liability? Because it's exactly the opposite. Every single metric and the eye test says it's exactly the opposite. 412-333-WXDX. By the way, I get this on Twitter all the time. You just don't like Gino because he won't come on your show. Gino's never done live radio ever. Why? Because he's not real good with English. We've never asked him to come on the show because he's not real good with English. We want good interviews, not bad interviews. There are plenty of Steelers who won't come on my show. And I still say some of them are pretty good. It's got nothing to do with that. That would be rather petty. Tom Petty. I do believe if Willis or Pickett are there with the number 20 pick, the Steelers will draft him. Given a choice between the two, boy, a lot of people say Pickett would go. I think Tomlin's in love with Liberty Biberty. But if you ask me who's going to be a better quarterback in 2 years for the Steelers, given equal opportunity, which is impossible, but in that theoretical situation, I would bet on Trubisky ahead of Willis and Pickett. Trubisky was the second pick overall. Got screwed in Chicago. Whichever Jamoke the Steelers pick will be the number 20 pick overall. With no experience. With zero polish. Who do you think's going to be the better quarterback in 2 years out of them three? 412-333-WXDX. The Pirates got beat. We'll talk about this in a second. They got beat 21-0 on Saturday, but they won 3 out of 4 at Chicago. They were minus 17 run differential in the 4 games, but they won 3 out of 4. That's actually pretty cool. But staying with baseball, there's a big schmoz over the video of Kyle Schwarber, now with Philadelphia. And he got called out, called third strike, by the worst umpire ever, Angel Hernandez. How on earth does he stay employed? You know, the graphic showed that the pitch was clearly not only low, but also away. Schwarber got called out, and Schwarber freaked. He freaked and got ejected. And I know arming balls and strikes is supposed to be an automatic ejection, but should you get ejected when the graphic shows you're clearly right to be pissed and that the ump made the wrong call? Because I don't think so. And that's what's wrong with the umpires. There shouldn't be a union for umpires. I'm a union guy, but there shouldn't be a union for umpires. If you suck, that union shouldn't be able to keep you your job. And that's what's happened for too many years and too many bad calls with Angel Hernandez. He keeps that job because of the union, and he sucks out loud. All right, we got Steve in Washington. We'll get him just around the corner. We got Phil Bork talking hockey at the bottom of the hour. Tell me how to be optimistic about the Penguins. 412-333-WXDX.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, big fan.
Well, no, I just said, I don't know what I said. I don't know what you said.
Double M.
Yeah?
The X at 105.9.
It's time for the Bucco Roundup. The Pirates won 3 of 4 in Chicago, but got outscored by 17 runs in the series. Minus 17, that's kind of like Evgeny Malkin. I'm not sure what that means, except they lost 21-0 on Saturday. The Pirates finished the series by winning 4-3 yesterday at Wrigley Field. Bednar got the save. Struck out the side in the ninth inning. Bednar's from Mars. Twitter blew up after those 3 Ks like Bednar is Nolan Ryan. Ryan Reynolds walked twice. He's hitting 190. The Pirates are off today. They're 8-8, and joining me to talk about the Buccos, and mostly about hockey, at 4:30 is going to be Doc Emrick, retired hockey play-by-play legend, lifelong Bucco fan. He joins me at 4:30. Phil Bork joins me at 3:30. It's the best hockey talk in town, and you can hear it only here on the Jorge de Guzman Show. The Steelers brought back Terrell Edmonds, and that's the right move. 1 year deal, $2.5 million, so he's a bargain, and he fits well with Minka. There's an obvious familiarity, not just with Minka, but with the entire defense, because Edmonds started the last 4 years, duh. The Steelers just didn't need Honey Badger. I know Edmonds doesn't have a cool nickname, but we're not collecting football cards here. They just didn't need the Honey Badger. That's another hole filled, but that's what she said. Now it's time to draft a defensive lineman in the first round. And when I say it, it does indeed come to pass. Look at the offseason so far. The Steelers signed Trubisky just like I said they should. The Steelers brought back Terrell Edmonds just like I said they should. The Steelers let Juju walk just like I said they should. Tua isn't coming back, just like I said he wouldn't. But if Willis or Trubisky is there at pick number 20, the Steelers will take one of them. The Steelers will take a quarterback. But only if it's Mr. Liberty Bibberty or Small Hands Kenny. If they're both gone, the Steelers won't take a quarterback. So here's hoping they're both gone, because the Steelers don't need to take a quarterback. But Mike Tomlin is in love with Mr. Liberty Buchamel. The draft begins Thursday night. I'm very excited. I'd take a defensive lineman, Jordan Davis at Georgia. I'd be tempted by a receiver like Olave, whatever his name is, however you pronounce it, from Ohio State. But drafting a quarterback, that's a showbiz move. You got Trubisky now. Wait till next year. Somebody posted a real good question on Twitter. Who is the MVP for rock music in the 70s? I got to figure it's Led Zeppelin. I mean, their whole career, with the exception of, I think, the first album, was contained in the 70s. They got to be the MVP of the 70s. But back to that quarterback thing. What if Willis and Pickard are both available? I think they take Willis. I think that's who Tomlin is in love with. 412-333-WXDX. We're also searching for ways for me to be optimistic about the Penguins as the playoffs approach, because that is not an easy task. Oh, Liverpool beat Everton 2-0. The Merseyside Derby yesterday at Anfield. Left it laying a little late, but job done. Liverpool just 1 point back of first place with 5 games left. We might run out of season as far as winning the league goes, but what a run it's been. Champions League semifinal, first leg on Wednesday. Hear all the action right here on the Jorge de Guzman Show. Let's go to Steve in Washington. Steve, you're on with Double M.
What up, Jorge?
What up, man?
I just wanted to say two things really quick. I feel like, I don't know if it's like some Twilight Zone stuff or what. Why do you think they feel the need to get a quarterback when Trubisky was a second-round pick? I thought he did great with the Bears, and I just don't understand what the deal is.
Okay,
with what
here's what I think. When Tomlin took over, Roethlisberger was already there, right?
Yeah.
Tomlin has final say, correct?
Absolutely.
Tomlin doesn't know how to do this. He's never replaced a quarterback. He doesn't know how. They should let Pickett play this year, take a quarterback next year. Excuse me, not Pickett, but Mitch Trubisky. Let Trubisky play this year. Big-time Freudian slip there. Right, Steve? And let Trubisky play this year. And the hope should be that he's good enough to just keep playing. Just keep playing. But I don't think they see it that way.
Okay. And that's kind of what I was thinking. And then I just wanted to say, too, like, I'm a huge Malkin fan, but I think the timeline, it's undeniable to say that he screwed up the system they were working.
Screwed
I don't know
the structure,
how people
not the chemistry, screwed up the structure. Chemistry
and
involves being a teammate, but structure involves how the team plays, and it's not been the same since he came back, just like I said would happen.
Absolutely. And last thing I'll say quickly is just I didn't realize that he was, in fact, the highest paid person on the team. I think he's just got to do much better.
Yeah, and he's going to take much less if he wants to stay, but I think they're going to keep him for old time's sake when the other two leave. I don't know what to do with Raquel, though, by the way. Raquel's playing great, especially with Sid. Thank you for the call. And he's a free agent, too. Up next, Hockey Talk with Phil Bork. It's the Jorge de Guzman Show here on 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, great show as always.
When you got a young trophy wife, owes money to... I can't even quote the Big Lebowski right. Goodbye.
The X at 105.9.
Penguins did not look good at Philadelphia yesterday. They've not looked good very often lately. Joining me now to discuss, the two-time Stanley Cup champion. You hear him doing radio color commentary right here on the X. He is the old 2-9er, Phil Bork. Borky, give me a couple reasons to be optimistic about the playoffs, because I can't find one. Not after yesterday at Philadelphia, especially.
Well, good afternoon, Senor Jorge. Hola, I should say. Hola, senor.
Hola.
Great to... hola. ¿Cómo está? And great to be on your show, like always. To give you reasons to be optimistic?
Right.
I'll give you one, Sidney Crosby. That's enough right there. I don't take one game and put too much into it. Did they stink yesterday? Pretty much. Were they uninspired yesterday? Pretty much. There's no excuse for it. I want them to play like a champion and go to Philly and just mop them up for all us old-timers that used to get their nose rubbed in a pile of dog poop every time we went there. And when it was 9-0, they wanted it to be 10-0. When it was 10-0, they wanted it to be 20-0. So every time the Penguins go in and lay a turd like they did yesterday against Philly, it physically hurts. A lot of us are old folks that used to go into the old Spectrum and get our butt handed to us every time.
Yeah, it's not so much that, though. They had won two in a row. I wanted them to continue the momentum. I wanted them to hold on to third place. And here's the odd part about the Penguins' recent run of bad play, Borky. X amount of guys are playing very well. You mentioned Sid. He was fantastic even yesterday. He got the only goal. Jake's been good. Letang, Raquel, Matheson, Rust. X amount of guys are playing good, and it's not a short list either.
No, you're right. Fair enough. And that's why when you look at the games before that, in Detroit, when they had to step on the gas pedal, they did just that. And give Detroit credit for bouncing back after being down and getting back in the hockey game. But when the push came to shove, the Penguins, you know, played like winners in that game. And you're right. There are a lot of guys that are playing well. And I think at the end of the day, I kind of hesitate to say this to you, Mark, because it's not a very complimentary thing. But I think there is a little bit of, let's just get to the playoffs. Does it mean a lot to play well going in? Yeah, it does. The Penguins went 8-2 the last 10 games last year. How'd that work out in the playoffs? So I think this group still believes that, I'm not going to say hit the switch, but I think they believe that when push comes to shove and all the chips get shoved into the middle of the table, that's what's going to bring out the best of this hockey team.
Now, I'm going to give Casey DeSmith credit. He's done pretty well since Dry got hurt. Domingue was okay yesterday, too. It's not the goaltending, and I'd rather have Jari to start the playoffs. I don't think the Penguins will, but if they do lose, I don't think it'll be because of the goaltending.
No, and you're right. All of a sudden, Louis Domingue becomes an important piece of this puzzle if Tristan isn't able to go in game one or two, or who knows, right? We haven't heard anything. We don't even know if he's able to walk, never mind skate. So just assuming that he won't be available, you're right. I think as time moves on here, and the more and more we see of Casey and Louis, the more we like and feel like, yeah, these guys, if they have to hold the fort until Tristan comes back, they're very capable. They're battlers. They're guys that have really paid their dues in lower leagues in this in pro hockey, and they're just relishing this opportunity no matter how long it lasts.
I want to talk Letang. I think he's having a career year. Why are some still so critical?
Because he has moments like he did in Detroit in the second period. You can't look the other way on that. I mean, if you want to, you can. But, you know, as long as those things creep into his game, I don't know how he wins the Norris Trophy. He should have multiple Norris Trophies on his mantle. Well, he is that damn good. And go ahead, Mark.
I don't know about multiple Norris Trophies. And I agree that we can't look the other way when Tanger makes a mistake, but I think his good far outnumbers his bad, and that brings the logical counterpoint. We certainly look the other way with Gino, because I think he's killing the Penguins 5-on-5, killing them.
Okay, well, let's finish up on Letang, and then we
sure
can talk about Gino. And I agree with you. Chris has this ability to realize, wow, those first couple shifts in the second period were not good. And it's probably happened to him enough in his career. He has this ability to not shrug his shoulders, not get down on himself. In fact, au contraire, he goes the other way where he ramps it up and he does something special. That's what's so incredible about him is he has this bounce back ability. He's so mentally tough and mentally strong, and we know how gifted he is physically. It's remarkable to me because most guys, if they had the kind of shifts that he has to start the second period, the rest of it would go right down the toilet and it would be just a trash game. Instead, he ends up being first star of the game.
What about Gino? What's wrong with him? Is it still the knee? Because I don't see how you can re-sign him at what he wants, and I'm not counting him for much in this postseason either.
I think he's one of those guys, Mark. The bigger the game, the better he's going to play. And I agree with you. Gino has had moments where you just go, oh boy, that's not going to work in the playoffs. That's not going to work in the playoffs. I know he knows it. He's a smart hockey player. But yeah, there's moments 5-on-5 where it's not good hockey. And he's got to find a way to round off those rough edges. I don't have a great answer for you, Mark. Obviously I'm stumbling and bumbling to find the words. But the thing is, you know, he's got some pretty good wingers with him, and Brian Rust and Jason Zucker, and I think he's kind of letting those guys down a little bit, because those wingers, you know, they weren't put there to pump up Gino. Gino's the guy that's got to bring those guys up to a little a higher level. He's that good of a player. When you're a future Hall of Famer, which I believe he is, those moments of indiscretion that he has, it's not a good look for him.
Well, and you mentioned Rust playing on Geno's line. That's what everybody wanted. Rusty gets on that line. He's still playing good, but the numbers aren't there. Whereas Raquel goes to Sid's line, and all of a sudden he's running up numbers. It shows the difference to me.
Yeah, I mean, that, to me, we're on the same page when it comes to Sid and Geno. They're completely different conversations, and Sid is Sid, and Geno is Geno. Geno has a specialness to him. Geno can do things that Sid can't necessarily do. But when it comes to consistency and just a more rounded, closer to perfection type of game, Sid's the guy that brings the game in and game out. What's remarkable, Sid only twice this year, Mark, has gone three games without a point. He's never gone that fourth. And only twice this year has that happened. One was way back in the beginning in November. Another one, I think, was in January. And I know it's not all about points, but when it comes to Sidney Crosby and the way he gets his points, there is a consistency and a professionalism and just a way that he goes about his business that you really can't compare him to anybody else in the league.
We're talking to Phil Bourque. He's brought to you by California University of Pennsylvania, by Armstrong, and by Keystone Basement Systems. I don't want to look too far ahead, but if the Penguins lose in the first round, do they blow it up? Do they let all the free agents walk after losing in the first round for the fourth year in a row?
Okay, so let's review here. We're talking about Geno. We're talking about Russ. We're talking about Letang. And we're talking about Raquel, too. Let's not forget about Raquel being
right.
The UFA. Boy, if they go out in the first round, the names on the tip of my tongue are Geno and Tanga. You know, like, are those guys coming back? You know, and they hold the cards too, right? It's not just the Penguins holding the cards. You know, the Penguins will obviously make an offer. How low will it be? But those guys, all it takes is one team, right, Mark, to throw them a number that's going to be a lot bigger than the Penguins. If it's a decent team that can possibly make a run in the playoffs, they're probably gone. That's the reality of the economics of not only the NHL, but the Pittsburgh Penguins and their economics. So I think that they'll make if that happens, they will really go hard after Russ and Raquel.
Well, here's my prediction. I think Rusty leaves because he's going to get 6x6 and he can't turn that down. I think Raquel might see the benefit of staying here to play with Sid. And I don't think Raquel's going to be met with overwhelming interest when he hits free agency. I think Letang's going to get a long time and a lot of money from Montreal to be their French-Canadian hero. And then I bet they bring Geno back to play Kate Sid at a price probably higher and longer than he should get. I'm not saying they should. In fact, I think they shouldn't. I'm just saying they probably will. My prediction for Geno, if he wants to go somewhere else, and you know what? Everybody laughs at this, Porky, but I bet you agree. He'll go to Dallas because Sergei Gonchar lives there.
That's possible. I don't know what Florida's cap room is going to be. I know he has a house down there.
Oh, God, they just don't need him, Borky. They just don't need him, nor does Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm just telling you, stranger things have happened. So it's hard for me, Mark, to say, well, he'd possibly go here and go there. You know, Dallas is a good team, and they've got a couple of Russians on their team. Would it be a good fit? Yeah, it probably would be a good fit for him. But you're right. I think at the end of the day, and I know some people think Sid's in the coach's room or he's in Hexie's room or he's in Mario's room. Sid doesn't do that. You know, Sid very rarely opens his mouth when it comes to decisions.
No, that's true.
Ever. But I think when the rubber hits the road on this one here, this means a lot to Sid. This is going right to the middle of Sid's heart. When you're talking about Geno and Tanger. So this is going to be a tough one. I wouldn't be surprised if Sid is asked his thoughts and his opinion on this. It absolutely will carry some weight.
Yeah, but it shouldn't because he's not the GM and this group's done. I mean, if this group loses...
I didn't say... It'll carry weight. I don't think...
Yeah.
If they have a decision made, it's the city. But out of respect, I think they will ask it.
I agree, and they should do that, too. Now, here's two guys who are driving me nuts, Borky. Kasperi Kapanen was a healthy scratch at Philadelphia. You got him with the first-round pick. You traded a first-round pick to get him back. You know, this might come off as being too hard on the kid, but at 25 years old, a first-round pick, he should be embarrassed by what he's putting out there.
Well, I don't know if I'm in a position to go that strong, but, yeah, it's just not working for him here. I mean, at the end of the day, and who knows? He might get another shot here down the stretch or in the playoffs. I don't know. You never know. I learned over my many years as a broadcaster and a player, never say never on certain players. And you're right. He tantalizes you and he teases you with this incredible amount of talent. My God. God basically took his index finger and touched him on the forehead and said, I'm going to give you all the talent in the world. You got to figure out the rest, kid. And he just can't seem to figure it out. He just can't seem. You look at the goals he scored. Some of them have been lucky bounces, but lucky bounces because he's gone to the net. His last goal he scored was against Detroit. That was an absolute dandy. He took it to the net. So if you could ever, like, just figure out, take the blinders off, you know, unzip the pants and put the big boy pants on and get to the net, he can make things happen. He's got that much talent. I don't know, Mark. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Obviously, by Sully scratching him when his dad is in the press box, he came over from Finland to watch him play.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that. Really?
Zinger right there.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's a zinger right there. And if anything, we'll see. You know, if I was Cappy, I'd be so ticked off of my head coach. I'd probably give him a few words. He'd probably like that he pissed me off. And I'd go out and I'd try to stick it up his backside on the ice and give him a look when I came to the bench. That's what I would do. So hopefully that lights a fire under his you-know-what. If not, then Cappy will just keep doing what he's been doing.
Here's another one. John Marino. He had one good year, his rookie year. He got a big ticket. And since then, he's receded. I thought after that rookie year, he could be the successor to Letang as a top-pair guy. He's not even close.
Overthinks things. I think, I don't know, go out the night before the playoffs and just tie one on, Johnny. That's what I would have done. And just play guilty as hell. You know, and stop thinking. You know, just get out there and play. And you're right. That first year, my goodness gracious, Mark, he was outstanding. Did he just blow us out of the water? It didn't just disappear. And I think just over time, he's kind of caught in between where he's gone on the offense and he's got caught. He stays back too much. People are criticizing him because he doesn't put up numbers. He's not scoring goals. He's a tweener right now. I think he's just stop thinking, man. Just bring some joy back into your game and let it fly. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. But make a mistake being aggressive.
Where are the Penguins going to finish? Who are they going to play? What's your hunch, Borky?
Well, the odds are, say you're going to finish in the wild card, you're going to play Florida.
Yeah, but New York might catch Carolina. Then you got to deal with where you finish against Boston. I don't want to play Florida. I know they got Bobrovsky. That doesn't necessarily encourage me enough.
Well, it's a dangerous game. When you start saying, well, you should play this team and not play that team, I stopped playing that game a long time ago. I know for sake of conversation and a three-hour show, Mark, I know it helps a lot, but really. I look at, and it's obviously three teams, right? It's obviously the Rangers, Carolina, Florida. Those are the only three teams we can play.
Right.
And you're basically throwing three cards up in the air, and whichever one falls face up, that's what you're going to play. They all have warts. I'm telling you right now. It doesn't matter. Florida, they won 13 in a row. They just lost to Tampa Bay. They've got warts. Their biggest wart is in goal. It's Sergei Bobrovsky and a young kid in Spencer Knight that you don't know what you're going to get. And I just matchup-wise, and I know you're going to roll your eyes at this, and that's okay. But I just think matchup-wise, whether it's playing in that arena, playing against that jersey, the Penguins historically have just played good against Florida. And they haven't – and all three games were one-goal games this year when they played them. I think a couple of them went to shootout, one went to overtime. I don't know. And with Carolina with their goaltending, who knows what's going on there, right? And with the Rangers, they beat us three straight. They'd probably take the game in the back alley. I'm a little worried about that. But, again, they've got a bunch of guys that haven't been there before. And if the Penguins go into New York and Madison Square Garden and win game number one, there'll be a bunch of itchy butts in the seats for game number two, and there might be full of a number two in their pants, too. You don't know because they've got a bunch of guys that haven't been there before.
Well, there you go, Borky. That's what I needed to wrap it up. I needed that optimistic streak. Great stuff. We'll do it again next week. 2 weeks.
All right, pal. I'll see you at the rink on Thursday. Hola, ¿cómo está?
Tuesday. Tomorrow night we play, right?
Yeah, we play McDavid, McJesus.
Yep. What about that? Crosby versus McJesus. I got to be honest. If I had to win a game, I'd still rather have Sid. How about you?
Same here. He's a complete player. I mean, McDavid is the price of admission, right? You plop down your credit card, even you, Double M, who comes in for free. You plop down your credit card to see McJesus versus Crosby. But my flavor is Sidney Crosby because he's such a complete player.
Not Double M, Borky, JDG, but good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, pal. Hey, Mark, like always, I enjoyed our time together, and this was good hockey talk.
That is Phil Bork. I'm Jorge de Guzman. Steve Martin, the comedian, is under fire for a routine he did years and years ago. We'll talk about that in a second. The River Hounds might be ready to break out and be a phenomenon. And we'll have more Penguin Talk here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X.
Boy, Double M, what's up?
Idiots are often happy, but they have no real impact in this world. Unless, of course, they're good enough to make the NFL.
The X at 105.9.
We got some Steeler draft talk at the top of the hour. Going to talk about the Steelers, at this point, very likely picking a quarterback in the first round. Certainly if either Willis or Pickett is available, which I think would be a mistake, because I think neither is of overwhelming caliber, and because I think you wait till next year to do that. Otherwise, there was no point in signing Trubisky this year. If you're drafting your long-term quarterback, and certainly nobody thought Mason Rudolph could be that, but he could be a bridge quarterback while the new guy prepares, whether it's Willis or Pickett. So, again, I just think drafting a quarterback goes against the logical timetable that the Steelers put in place when they signed Trubisky. But a quarterback's sexy. All y'all will like it. You'll bitch when the guy don't play right away, and it makes Trubisky's job all that much tougher, but you don't give a damn because you don't know what the frig you're talking about. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Service. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. Looking at the Penguins, the worst thing about the Penguins is they're not only losing, but they look terrible. Like, when they beat Boston 4-0 last Thursday, they let up 52 shots. They looked opportunistic and not good. When's the last time the Penguins looked good? And the Penguins look like they know they're not that good. Good players who have won, they know what is and isn't possible. It's organic. It took a long time to happen, but the Penguins are crumbling. Even more so than the last 3 years. I went to the last three playoff series picking the Penguins to win. There's just no way. There's just no way I can bring myself to do that this year. And that's no matter who they play. Pittsburgh Riverhounds won their home game Saturday, 4-0, and they got almost 6,000 people there, which I think is a regular season record for Highmark Stadium. Riverhounds have a real good team, and with the Pirates, such dog manure, despite being 8-8, with the Pirates just offering no optimism, maybe the Riverhounds can become a bit of a phenomenon. I bet there are going to be a lot of weeknights where the Pirates don't get 6,000 fans. That's for sure. Here's one of the stupidest things in recent memory regarding cancel culture and the woke brigade, all those idiots. There were people being critical of Steve Martin, the comedian, over a novelty song he did in 1978. He performed it on Saturday Night Live, called King Tut. It was because the King Tut exhibit was touring the country at the time, and people were making this huge deal of it, and Steve Martin did a novelty song that mocked it. And now Steve Martin is being accused by the woke brigade of cultural appropriation. What the frig are you talking about? Cultural appropriation from who? From ancient Egypt? Who gives a frig about that? Steve Martin might be the funniest guy ever. He might be the funniest guy ever. I remember reading a story about Chris Farley where he broke up with a girlfriend and she didn't know who the girlfriend was now dating, but he said to a friend, "I know one thing for sure. He might be better looking than me, he might be richer than me, but there's no way he's funnier than me." Well, the friend that he said it to, I think it might have been David Spade, but I'm not sure, knew that the girl was dating Steve Martin. So with all due respect to Chris Farley, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Now, when I die, don't think that I'm a nut. Don't want no fancy funeral, just one like old King Tut. King Tut. He could have won a Grammy, King Tut. Buried in his jammies. Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia. Born in Arizona, got a condo made of stoner, King Tut. Steve Martin was awesome, is awesome. Me remembering that from 1978 speaks volumes about my opinion of him, which is certainly considerable. I watched Winning Time last night, the latest episode. It's still real good, but it's over the top. Every character's over the top. Every character's crazy. It has no subtlety. It's become the basketball version of Dude, Where's My Car? Even Sally Field is over the top. One of the greatest actors of all time. She's like, not so like the rest of them. She reminds me when Mary Tyler Moore did her last run on TV, which was as a nutty local TV host on That 70s Show. I still really like it. You know, it's one of those series. See if this makes sense. I still really like it, but I'm not sure it's any good. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. Going to talk NFL draft just around the corner here on 105.9 The X.